Welcome to the Soulful Insights podcast. In today's episode, it is going to be packed with powerful information about the purpose of relationships and why some people struggle to find healthy relationships in their lives. So I want to just dive right in. There is a purpose for every single relationship in your life. They provide an avenue, an opportunity for spiritual and personal growth. Relationships are part of your soul's journey and can even act as a soul contract or a spiritual assignment to help you learn and heal on your soul's journey. But before we get into this, I know that some of you might be thinking about a relationship in your childhood, whether it was a parent, a grandparent, or someone in your childhood, aunt, uncle, I don't know, that was abusive or caused a lot of pain for you as a child. And I want to make it very, very clear here. We're not talking about childhood relationships today. We're not talking about childhood abuse or trauma or anything like that, because as a child, if you're being abused, you can't just get up and walk out. I'm going to go live on my own now. Those are relationships you don't have the same control over. That's a different dynamic. So that's not what we're talking about today. So I just want to make that clear. Set aside those relationships. Today we're talking about the relationships that you have in adulthood. Okay? This is your friendships, dating relationships, any type of relationship that you have in your adult life. Okay? So I don't want that to be confused, because I know a lot of times I've had even people that I've worked with in the past where I was working through trauma who really said some very painful things about childhood trauma that I'd had. And I don't want anyone associating what I'm talking about today with that, because it could potentially be hurtful to feel like I was not responsible for the abuse that happened to me when I was a child, and you're not. And the other thing that I want to say before we get started is I also want to acknowledge that it is not your fault, okay? Someone else's abusive behavior is not your fault. That is on them. Now, as we go through this, I want you to remember that I said this, because I am not blaming you or saying it's your fault. It isn't. That person has their own toxic way of showing up in the world. And this is the same for parents and everyone else. Even if you were a child and you had an abusive parent, not your fault. 100% parents' fault. That is on that person. So as we go through this, I don't want you to listen to this podcast and blame yourself or think that I'm telling you as you're getting into these relationships that it's your fault. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, why are you willing to allow this toxic person into your life? Not that it's your fault the way that they're acting, but somehow you are attracting people like this in your life. And what we're trying to do is have you recognize what it is in you that is allowing these people to be in your life or stay in your life. If you've noticed a pattern in your life that you've had abusive boyfriends, or you came from an abusive family and then you got into an abusive relationship later in adulthood, we need to look at why this pattern happened in your life. Okay. So that's what we're looking at. Relationships play a pivotal role in our lives and in our spiritual journey. And I don't want to any way minimize the gut-wrenching pain that's caused by abuse and betrayal in relationships. Okay? I don't want to minimize that at all. But I want to help you see why you choose certain relationships and certain kinds of people, whether that be friends, dating relationships, marriage relationships, whatever that is. You choose to live with someone, whatever it is. Why are you choosing these relationships that end up being toxic, or the person always ends up being unfaithful? Whatever that toxicity is, why? You've got to find that why. These relationships are a mirror that reflects back to you the areas where you need to do some healing before you can find truly meaningful relationships in your life. If you are struggling through friendships that are one-sided, maybe you have friends that constantly put you down. They talk about you behind your back. They make plans and never show up sometimes or all the time. I don't know. You have these friendships where you just don't feel like people are there for you. They don't have your back. I want you to reflect on the friends you have in your life right now. We're going to go through friends. We're going to go through dating relationships. We're going to move along. So don't worry. Stay tuned. We're going to get to the romantic relationships. We're going to start with friends first. And the reason that we're going to start with friends is because the friends that you're choosing are also going to reflect similarly the relationships that you're going to have in dating. Not always. But it also makes it easier if we have these friendships. We've got that down. We've got that locked down and got people that have our back. It makes it a lot easier then when we move into dating, marriage, other relationships, when you need to get out. You've got a support system. Friends is just where we're going to start. So hang in there. We will get to the romantic relationships. So are your friends people that you know would have your back no matter what? Would they defend you if someone was talking bad about you when you were not there? Do you know that in your heart? Would they drop what they're doing to come and help you in an emergency or if you needed something? Are these friends gonna bring you meals if you had to have surgery? Or are they just gonna drop you like a hot potato because you're not fun, and then as soon as you're healed and better, hey, let's go hang out? Do they encourage you to be the best version of yourself? Do they accept it when you say no to something? Drinking too much, doing dangerous things, doing things that don't align with your personal values. Do they respect that? Or do they make fun of you or pressure you? This shows you how much these people respect you in your life. And I want you to really reflect on the friendships in your life and see what areas you feel like these friendships are meaningful or where they might drag you down or where they might be toxic. Now, if you're reflecting on your friendships, you might say, hey, I got that down. My friends are amazing. I have wonderful friends. Great. You have that area of your life down. That doesn't mean your romantic relationships are going to be that way or even your family relationships are going to be that way. But you got the friend thing down. If not, though, I really want you to reflect, what is it in you that allows people to treat you like that? It's not your fault they behave that way, but why do you allow them in your life? Why don't you say, hey, kick them to the curb. These people, I do not deserve to be treated like this, right? This is going to help you unravel what it is that you need to heal in your life. If you accept someone into your circle of friends that constantly puts you down, that says something about how you feel about yourself, that will tell you when you allow someone to do that to you, how maybe you think you deserve to be treated. If you have low self-esteem, if you grew up in a family where that happened, one of your parents or someone that raised you was constantly putting you down, it might just feel familiar. But let's look at it. I want you to really, I mean, you can listen to this podcast, but I really want you to go out after listening, sit down with a notebook and really think about this. What is it in your past that needs to be healed so that you don't allow people to talk to you like that? Let's say you have someone in your life that makes plans with you and doesn't show up. This doesn't always happen. It's very rare to have someone that does this all the time, or they're very late. And I'm talking half hour, 45 minutes, an hour late. That says something about how much you value yourself. You allow people to treat you as though it's okay to just show up when it's convenient for them. You're not a priority. They're not valuing you. It's just like, eh, I got better things to do right now. I'll show up when I get there, you know? if something else comes along, they drop the plans they have with you. They may not even tell you, and then they just don't show up because it's more enjoyable for them. This is a friend that's very selfish. Hands down. And they might be like, no, I'm not. They are. They just are. They need to do their own work. This is not about you. They have some work to do if they treat people they call friends like that. Okay? It's one thing if this is happening when there's an emergency. It's another thing when it's a chronic problem. I had a friend like this when I was a teenager. We moved about an hour and a half away from where she lived. And so she was going to come and stay the weekend with me. And she told me that she had to work, but she would be there around 6 p.m. on Friday night. Now realize this girl was, you know, very well known by my family, her parents. You know, we were very well acquainted with her. 9 p.m. rolls around. Now, reminder, she said she'd be there at 6 p.m. 9 p.m. rolls around. We haven't heard from her. My mom was freaking out that something terrible had happened to her. We started calling her parents. We started calling around. Her parents were calling around, wondering if something had happened to her. Because she's driving as a teenage girl an hour and a half. She had to drive on a freeway for a long time to get there. And this was back before cell phones, so it was really, really hard to track someone down. Come to find out, she had decided she wanted to hang out with some other friends and didn't bother to tell us that she was not coming. We didn't find this out until like 10:30 at night. As young as I was when this happened, I ended that friendship. And I did not, we did not hang out anymore. It just ended it. And that might sound harsh to you. That might be something that you're uncomfortable with. But after years of being made fun of and bailed on time and time again, I decided that I deserve better. And that is what I'm looking for you. Okay? I didn't always do this. But in this situation, I think as a teenage girl, I handled this very well. This is the prime example of a relationship that has a soul contract attached to it. As a 16-year-old girl, I had to learn to value myself enough not to put up with poor treatment in a friendship. This was a great learning experience for future relationships. It was hard. I mean, it was hard to be bailed on all the time. She did make fun of me. I was very shy. I was very quiet. I was very timid. She would make fun of me. She was not the greatest friend. But it was a great learning tool, and it also was a learning tool for future romantic relationships as I got older. So you learn not to put up with people in your life that don't care enough about you or don't care enough about the relationship to prioritize you. So I was learning this as a teenager. So yeah, it's like, did I like that? No, but it was a learning experience. When I say these relationships are soul contracts or spiritual assignments, that doesn't mean they are cute, fun little assignments like a preschool coloring assignment. They can bring up some difficult lessons. But in the end, the lessons will help improve your life, what you allow in your life down the road. And this was not like traumatic or abusive or something like that. This was just a difficult relationship to navigate that was teaching me how to value myself. And that's what I'm talking about, learning experiences. If you don't get anything else from this episode, I want you to understand this statement. We attract relationships based on the wounds we operate from. Let me say that again. We attract relationships based on the wounds we operate from. Okay? This is really important. So if I had continued to allow that relationship to go on, there was something in me that didn't value myself enough to say, hey, if you're not going to show up and you're just going to make fun of me when you do, then I don't need that in my life. But if I did not have the confidence or self-worth to do that, that's something that still needs to operate in me. So I'm going to have more friends like that. I'm going to keep accepting people in my life like that until I heal that wound. Okay, so I want to share another example with you to help you understand this concept further. Let's think about a woman that grew up in an emotionally neglectful environment with a narcissistic mother. She's going to end up in similar romantic relationships until she learns to heal those wounds. Sometimes it's because it's familiar. you are used to that narcissistic behavior. And so when you get in a romantic relationship, it just triggers familiarity. And until we break that and say, I deserve better than that, you may continue to allow, it may even just be friendships with people like that. So you've got to look at all areas of your relationships. Where did this wound come from? And what do I need to do to heal and stop allowing this in my life? So if we look at this woman, as a result of growing up in an emotionally neglectful environment, she doesn't know how to relate to someone who is emotionally available. It might even be uncomfortable. So I actually know a woman like this. She's a lot younger than me. And she did grow up in a very emotionally neglectful home, both parents. She doesn't know she doesn't know how to be hugged. I am dead serious. It's uncomfortable to her for someone to show affection. She never got it as a child. It feels weird. It feels uncomfortable to her. She has emotional wounds. Well, let me tell you, she's in a marriage just like that. When she is in a health crisis on the floor and her husband steps over her, walking out the door with a screaming 4-month-old baby in the background and says, get over it, and shuts the door. That's what she accepts in her life. Why? Because that's what she grew up with. She does deep down feel worthless. It may not even be in her conscious awareness at this point, because a lot of time they're very emotionally unaware, very shut down, so they're not aware of what's underneath. She feels like she doesn't deserve better. She has actually verbalized that to a really good friend of mine. Lack of self-confidence, inability to engage in healthy emotional connection. Her inability to emotionally connect with someone will cause her to attract emotionally unavailable men. She's not going to a man that is very emotionally stable and available and loving is going to feel really awkward to her. She's not going to choose that relationship. She will choose an emotionally unavailable man over one who is emotionally connected because it is familiar. It is within her comfort zone because she's used to it. Not only does it feel familiar, but it also aligns with what she believes she deserves at an unconscious level. She will also attract these types of men because in her unhealed state, that is also all she can give to a relationship is being emotionally unavailable. And this is another thing you need to be aware of. Sometimes the reason your relationship is the way that you are, and that you got to get real with yourself. I know this is not fun, but for some of you, you are also emotionally unavailable. Trauma, maybe past relationships where someone just abandoned you, you don't even know what happened, or whatever, you become emotionally unavailable to protect your heart. And so then you start noticing this is a pattern in your life where your partner is also emotionally unavailable and it's painful and you want them to emotionally connect, but at the same time, you don't know how. So there's a lot of stuff to unpack here. Is this a childhood thing? Is this what you grew up with? Is this, you know, something that was the result of pain in another relationship? Where is this coming from that you continue to choose relationships like this? Until this woman heals her wounds and begins to connect with her true worth, she will not have healthy relationships. She also needs to learn how to connect emotionally with others. And the woman that I was telling you about does not know how to emotionally connect. Like I said, she doesn't even know how to receive a hug or a compliment or anything. She may not have learned how to do this in childhood, but if she wants to have a healthy relationship, she has to learn how to do this now, or she will never truly find the relationship that she wants in her life. Every relationship that she enters will continue to reflect this emotional disconnect until she learns to heal that part of her. And that is why relationships, it isn't to be cruel. It is to say heal so that you can have a beautiful, happy life with a beautiful connection and a wonderful relationship. It really honestly is the universe or gods or however you want to talk about the divine creator keeps reflecting back to you what you need in order to have what you want. She may wonder why the men in her life seem offish, disconnected, and aren't truly devoted to the relationship. She may find that the men she dates prioritize spending time with their buddies and don't seem to be too interested in prioritizing the relationship with her, only when it's convenient. Maybe she has men who struggle with commitment, spending time with her when it's convenient, but they don't really want to fully commit. There's a lot of things out there. Men can also experience this where, you know, they're dating someone that prioritizes their friends over him, or women that struggle with commitment. This goes both ways. But if you've got to unpack why, if it happens once, that's one thing. But if it's a theme in your relationships, we need to look at that. She may find that relationships are superficial and he doesn't seem to be too interested in really getting to know her or understanding her or trying to meet her needs. You got a really selfish one here. Okay. But if she experienced this as a child, or she has worthiness wounds, which I have a course on dealing with worthiness wounds, she may continually get into relationships like this because she has worthiness issues. She may even feel lonely in relationships because there's no true connection or devotion to the relationship. There's no depth to it. Sometimes these relationships are physical and there's not much else. If you want that, that's your choice. But if it's not what you're looking for, there's a reason you keep running into relationships where guys just want to be physical and they don't care about you. There's a reason. A lot of women don't want to face it and they don't like it, but we're going to talk about that too. All of this is reflecting her own inability to connect emotionally and to engage in healthy connection, commitment, and true intimacy in a relationship. And when I say true intimacy, I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. This requires a deep emotional connection. Your relationships are reflecting your inner wounds and provide that mirror we were talking about into your soul to show you what you need to work on. And only you can do this work. I can't tell you specifically why you keep getting into relationships where the guy just prioritizes his buddies most of the time. I don't know. I don't know if that happened in your childhood. I don't know if it wasn't. You may have had a fairly average childhood and be like, my childhood was fine. There's something, there's a thought or a belief that you have about yourself inside that is causing you to accept this. Maybe for whatever reason, you allow this to happen in your life because you're afraid of commitment. Maybe you're afraid of being cheated on. Maybe you have abandonment issues and you're afraid that if you fully commit, that if this guy leaves, breaks up with you, it's going to be too painful. You're not going to be able to handle that emotionally. It may just be beliefs or thoughts that you have that is causing you to choose these relationships. It may not even be past trauma per se, but you've got to do the work to find out what it is that is allowing you to choose these relationships. Because for someone who's healthy and whole within themselves, when they start to notice a guy or a girl that is choosing their friends over you, immediately that's a no. Immediately that's a no. And you need to get to that place where it's like, I don't need a relationship so bad that I'm willing to take this. And that's another thing that we have. People who want this relationship. They feel like they need a relationship to be whole. No, you don't. You need to be whole first and then enter into the relationship. You need to be happy and whole in your life. And then when you seek a partner who is happy and whole, once you are happy and whole with your life and you don't feel like you need someone to make you happy or need someone to give you something to make you feel complete or whatever, once you're whole within yourself, when you come across these emotionally unavailable people, it's an automatic no. You come across someone that prioritizes their friends over you, it's an automatic no. You are whole enough within yourself, you don't need that relationship, so you can let it go. Right? That's what needs to happen. You need to be healthy and whole inside yourself And then all of a sudden, all this toxic crap gets tossed out instead of accepted. I have seen extremely tragic outcomes when women do not do the work to heal their wounds before getting into marriages. So I'm going to tell you the story about this darling, darling young woman that I know very well. She married a certifiable narcissist at 18 years old. And I'm not talking about, oh, we just call people No. I am talking certifiable DSM narcissist. Okay? Not long after they got married, he moved her clear across the country, away from her family. He has repeatedly convinced her not to spend time with her family. They have spent many holidays with his family year after year. Instead of saying we go one Christmas with this family, one Christmas with this, nope. He refuses to allow presents for birthdays or Christmas. He constantly ridicules and belittles her. My husband has witnessed this behavior. It broke his heart. This little sweetest 18-year-old girl that got herself into this marriage, and she's berating her that she packed the hiking backpack wrong. Her father wanted to pay to fly the entire family out to visit them for Christmas. This young girl told her father that her husband said that they would not be celebrating Christmas that year and that her family was not to come. Do you see this? Okay. The problem is, she grew up with a mother who told me personally, to my face, so I can tell you this with confidence, in front of this young girl who was standing right next to her, her mother says, I never bonded with her as a mother, and I never really loved her. That's what she said. She grew up with a mother who has significant mental illness and severely neglected her from infancy. Her feeding schedule as a newborn was very rigid, and I witnessed her scream at the top of her lungs for over a half an hour as her mother refused to feed her until the proper amount of time had passed since the last feeding. I begged this mother to just feed her. She refused to do it. She even had the stereotypical flat head that you see in orphanage babies from laying on their backs 24/7 because bottles were always just propped in her mouth. She was not held. She was not picked up. She was severely neglected. So guess what? Abuse seems normal to this young girl. Now, I am not blaming her, this young girl, for being in this relationship. She was 18 years old and she was manipulated by this man into marrying her or marrying him. She was very naive, very sweet, very naive. She almost broke up with him because she recognized what he was and he manipulated her into it. She even made a comment at one point that she was not attracted to him and was not interested in him when they started dating. And I have seen far too many young girls in my lifetime who've ended up in toxic, abusive marriages because I grew up in a high-demand religion that encouraged marrying very young, and the morality rules were so impossibly strict that many couples do not even know each other for a full year before they get married. Many of them are engaged within a couple months from meeting for the very first time. This is a recipe for disaster most of the time. I know there's all the stories out there of, you know, two people that got married 2 weeks after they met and they were married for 100 years and it was beautiful. Yes, that does happen, but it is not smart. Okay, it does not usually work out that way. You really should know someone better than that. So I would never blame someone who was 18 years old and got manipulated into this. But what she needs to be able to do is look at the relationship and look at herself and look at her wounds and get out. They don't have children. So my reason for doing this is for women who are in these situations to recognize that they are worth it. That you have value, that you have worth, and that you've got to do this work to find this in yourself so that you have the courage to get out. It's not your fault that this guy acts this way. But you are an adult. Right? And I'm not talking, you know, there are some situations in which it might be dangerous for a woman to leave. And you do need to have the help and support to do that safely. And I'm not trying to convince anyone to do something in which they feel like that is not safe without the support and help that they need. But you've got to identify the beliefs and thoughts that you have about yourself that correspond with what you are allowing in your relationship. So firstly, we recognize your circle of friends and any type of toxic or hurtful things you're allowing in those relationships. And then you can identify the beliefs and thoughts that you have about yourself that correspond with why you're allowing that in your friendships. There are wounds that you need to begin working on so that you can have healthier relationships all the way around. And obviously, you're going to need help working on these wounds, identifying them, working through them. We don't just change our mind. It's not like you feel worthless or you feel that you don't deserve better, whatever it might be. You don't just automatically be like, oh, well, I just won't feel that way anymore. It doesn't work that way. I realize that. It can be extremely difficult to change these ingrained patterns, beliefs, and thought systems. And so there are many life coaches and therapists or whatever it is that resonates with you for the help that you need. I would definitely recommend it if you're finding yourself in extremely toxic behaviors or, I'm sorry, extremely toxic relationships. I would definitely recommend getting some help. Getting someone that can help you work through your thoughts and work through your belief systems and the ingrained patterns that you have to unravel this so that when you leave friendships or you may even have to break off ties with family members, whatever it might be, who is being abusive or toxic in your life, that you have the strength within you to be able to do that and to do it safely and to do it in the way that you want to do it. Not just staying in, you know, family relationships that are consistently abusive just because, oh, well, they're family, or staying in a marriage that's abusive because you have religious beliefs or whatever else that makes you feel like you have to. You don't. Okay? There is no God out there that requires you to suffer in a marriage for the rest of your life. You will never convince me of that. I did train to be a Christian pastor. And no, as you see, I am not a Christian pastor anymore. And the reason is because I was taught to tell women that if they were not physically safe in a marriage, that they could live separated from their husband for the rest of their life, but they were not to get divorced because God hates divorce. And when I saw what the underlying beliefs that they don't talk about in church were, I couldn't promote that. Nobody deserves to feel like they are stuck in this type of toxic situation. I have seen men in it too. Don't get me wrong. There is a man right now that I know of that is in a marriage where the wife is using spiritual abuse against him and he doesn't even see it. And he's in the relationship because he feels that he has to be devoted to it because of his religious beliefs. And his children are suffering and the whole family is suffering because of it. So you need to look at your childhood and what wounds you have from growing up that may affect the type of person you select for a romantic relationship. What, maybe it's the type of relationship your parents have. And I have seen I've seen many people struggle with even being afraid to be married because of the relationship their parents had. So that is definitely a wound that you may need to look at. How might the relationship your parents had or still have affect what you believe about relationships? Wounds can be caused even by overly critical parents or parents with an extremely negative worldview. They can be caused by many things, so you really have to dig deep to find these. And if you're struggling to find them or to heal them, like I said, get some help. It's critical that you begin to unravel what relationships in your life are mirroring to you. If you are constantly criticized as a child, It might be something you're allowing in your relationships. If you grew up with emotionally immature parents, you might be getting into relationships where the person is emotionally immature. That may even be friendships. I don't know. You may even just have friends that are constantly criticizing you. There's just negative people that are constantly criticizing everyone around them. And you might allow it because you're used to it. And if you feel like you can deal and it's not affecting you, great. But if that's not what you want, then we need to take a good look at that. Look at the familial patterns that you grew up with. And I guarantee you, you'll see that those patterns will be reflected in relationships that you're choosing as an adult in one way or another. Another example is actually a young man that was dating a friend of mine. And this situation involves both of their childhood wounds that created a really unhealthy dynamic between the two of them. She grew up in a very high demand religion with a father that conducted religious interviews of his children on, I think it was a weekly basis. It could have been a monthly basis, but I think it was a weekly basis. So he would literally take them in like the office in their home or whatever, and he would interview them and he would ask them about morality and if they were, quote, morally clean, and ask them about their thoughts and ask them about their testimony of their religion and all this type of stuff. I even, as her friend, got yelled at by her father for calling on a Monday night because it was their family time. And how dare I interrupt family time? This father was extremely controlling and manipulative. She was very sweet. She was very submissive. She was very soft-spoken. And then she meets this boy. His parents were divorced. And he confided in her that his worst fear was getting divorced because it was traumatic for him. So I don't think anyone wants to get divorced. You know, I don't think you get married and be like, yeah, whatever. But the problem in his case is that this fear of getting divorced caused him to be distant, offish, emotionally unavailable, and not fully committed to their relationship. Recipe for disaster. After they were married, like they had no children very, very, very soon after they were married, he refused to let her come to his high school reunion because he wanted to just hang out with all his old friends and he didn't want her there. And if you think that is a normal attitude, you may also have an emotionally unavailable way of showing up in your own relationships because it's not normal. She was used to controlling an emotionally disconnected family dynamic and was also used to disregarding her own intuition, her own wants, and her own desires because of her high demand religion. And so this relationship seemed normal to her. You can see how this dynamic is a recipe for disaster, as this young man refused to fully commit and refused to invest in the relationship out of a fear that it might end in divorce. And she was used to accepting emotionally distant, controlling dynamics, and so she accepted that. This is another prime example of how even being a child of divorce can cause an unhealthy relationship dynamic. It can cause you to show up in negative ways in your own relationships, in a variety of ways. It might be the reason you prioritize your friends over any romantic relationship you're in. It might be why you have commitment issues. Who knows? But you've got to be willing to do the work to look at yourself and say, how am I showing up in these relationships? Or why am I being willing to accept this instead of kicking this person to the curb as soon as I notice their toxic crap? So I've noticed a lot of couples who want independence and autonomy at the expense of intimacy, commitment, and connection that a healthy relationship requires. And a lot of people say, hell yeah, independence and autonomy, that's great. Well, yes, it is to a certain extent. Some people take it too far. And the percentage of divorce in this country tells the entirety of the story of how we have a lot of baggage that we're bringing into relationships and it's not working. We have a lot of people with so many wounds and toxic ways of showing up in relationships that the majority of those relationships are not surviving. Value yourself enough to let go of unhealed people who cannot engage in a healthy relationship. And also, value yourself enough to do the work to heal yourself so that you don't show up as a toxic person in a relationship? That's another, that's a harder one. What is it that I am doing to contribute to the negative outcomes of relationships? Not always, abuse and all this stuff, that's not you. But you are allowing that. So there always has to be a look at yourself. Why am I allowing this? If the relationship's just emotionally disconnected, they're emotionally unavailable, you might be doing that unknowingly. It's extremely important to understand that healthy, respectful intimacy is also critical to a healthy relationship. Toxic attitudes towards the opposite sex will always result in a very toxic, intimate relationship. And I'm going to give you a warning here before we go any further here, because we're going to talk about intimacy, because it's a huge aspect in relationships as well. You might not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, because somebody has got to tell you the truth. I am not going to pander to people's feelings, because this is something that is extremely toxic and damaging to relationships, and nobody wants to call it out, so I'm going to do it. It might offend some people, and that's okay, because I'm not going to pander to your sexual perversion. I'm going to call you out. When it comes to comments, when you notice someone that you are with, I don't care, male, female, I don't care, when they are making comments sexualizing strangers on the street bodies, when they view the opposite sex as an object to be consumed, when their attitude towards the opposite sex is judging how visually pleasing they are to them, this is selfish and toxic. And that attitude will infiltrate your relationship in ways you cannot possibly imagine. This is a train wreck waiting to happen. If you are looking for a healthy, committed relationship, if you're not looking for that, this is not for you. But if you're looking for a healthy, committed relationship, this is a train wreck waiting to happen. Okay? A lot of women allow this behavior in their relationships because they have been conditioned by our patriarchal society to think this is normal. It isn't normal. It's selfish and it's degrading. The opposite sex is not on this planet. Their purpose here is not to visually please you. Not to mention the fact that 99% of the people that they think are visually pleasing aren't real. Why do I say that? They are plasticized. I'm going to give you an example here of what our society has done with airbrushed, plastic surgeried pornography and all of this stuff that has been fed to our brains for a really long time. I'm going to tell you about the butterfly experiment. Researchers did an experiment. They figured out what spots on a butterfly were attractive to the male butterflies. And they created cardboard butterflies where they had overly exaggerated the spots that were sexually attractive to the males. And they hung those butterflies in the butterfly cage. Do you want to know what happened? None of the males tried to mate with a female. None of them. They paid no attention to the real females. They were obsessed with the fake butterflies with the fake sexual spots. They would not mate with a real female. And guess what? That is exactly what is happening in our society. And you're like, no, like we have sex with humans and whatever. And it's like, I know. But there's an aspect of that relationship that you don't realize. That person ain't thinking about you. They are not having sex with you in their mind. You're just a means to an end. I'm being real with you here. That's all they're doing. Men will only value a sexual relationship with you based on what you do for them. These type of men that think women are here on this earth to visually please them, and if a woman doesn't, they want nothing to do with her. They make fun of her. She's fat. She's overweight. She doesn't look good. Blah, 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 all of that. That type of man who looks at women based on how they visually please them will only value a sexual relationship with you based on what you do for them. When they pay money for women to sexually stimulate them, they don't value women. They value you based on what you do for them. It is 100% selfish. That is not a two-sided thing. It's a one-sided thing. Are you visually pleasing me? Are you sexually stimulating me? If you're not, you have no value to me. Get out of here. They will only value you as long as you visually please them enough. As soon as you don't, as soon as you get too old, as soon as you get stretch marks, as soon as something happens, they'll move on. They will either move on figuratively or they'll move on physically, meaning they'll just leave you for someone else. Or they'll just have affairs. Or they'll move on physically, figuratively, meaning you're still in a relationship with them, but you're just a means to an end. They're thinking about someone else during intimacy. I'm just being real with you. I know a lot of people are not going to like this, but I'm going to be real with you. Women can do this too. I'm not saying that men are the only ones that do this. Women do this too. Women generally tend to not treat men in the same way as they're like checking out every guy that walks down the street that visually pleases them and treating men like that's their only purpose in life. Women don't tend to get that far into it. But if your relationship continues with a man who does this, despite your lack of visually pleasing him, you will end up being seen as the woman that takes care of the home and the children. And basically you become the maid and the cook and all of that while he finds visual stimulation elsewhere. And that visual stimulation that he's getting elsewhere is going to infiltrate your bedroom. And if you don't care, great. A lot of women accept this role in their marriage, and they fail to understand that they become the vehicle as a means to an end. Your body is just a means to an end. It is not intimacy. It is not love. It's just a means to an end. Intimacy holds no place in the life of someone who does this. It just doesn't. Sex is just a selfish means for pleasure. That's all it is. It's not an expression of love and intimacy. It's what happens. What people don't realize is they think sex is just supposed to be for pleasure. And I go, oh, I get lots of pleasure off that. Okay, well, that's a really, really, really poor way of engaging in that way. And I feel honestly bad for people who think that sex is just about physical pleasure, because they're actually missing out and they don't realize that it can actually be 100,000 times better when it is about emotional connection and an expression of love. A lot of couples will say to me that their sex life is fine because physically it appears to be. Yeah, we have sex. It feels good. It's like mind blowing. It feels so good. I'm like, okay, do you realize how selfish that is? It has nothing to do with intimacy, emotional connection, and expression of love. It has nothing to do with a deep connection with another human being, which means that their sex life is absolutely not fine. This is the issue that we have. And women have become the cardboard butterflies. And if we have women that aren't the cardboard butterflies, men aren't interested. And this has become really toxic. I have a sister who's a millennial. She has a lot of friends. She's an extrovert. She has a lot of friends. And she said, it's pretty much across the board that these millennial men are telling their wife, if you ever change, you get a stretch mark, you gain weight, anything like that happens, I will leave. Whether or not they will, I don't know. But they're definitely threatening it. And I'll tell you why. Because they want cardboard butterflies. They don't want someone that got a stretch mark. They don't want a woman that has scars on her stomach because she had to have an appendectomy or she got in a car accident and or whatever, and she doesn't look the same. They don't care about you as a human being. They care about how you visually please them. Most people do not even know what true intimacy even feels like, because most of our society is more interested in how the other person visually or sexually pleases them rather than it being an expression of love. If you're in a relationship with someone who cannot respect the dignity of other human beings, you'll find that eventually they won't respect you either. You think you'd be like, oh, we have mind-blowing sex, but we argue all the time and we can't get along. Uh-huh. I am not confused by that. I am not confused. They say, oh, we have mind-blowing sex, but we can't get along, or, you know, we have a really good sex life. You don't have a good sex life. That's the problem. You think it's supposed to physically feel good, so you think it's great. You have no idea what it actually even is. Society has completely ruined intimacy for you. And most people get really mad at me when I bring this up. I totally understand. I probably offended a lot of people, and you're probably super mad at me. People don't like when their selfish behavior is exposed. But I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest with you. This type of sexual relationship does not and cannot result in deep, loving, intimate connection. And if you think it can, you don't even understand what it means. Having a good sex life has nothing to do with how good it feels physically and has everything to do with how it feels in regard to emotional connection. If after intimacy in your relationship, you feel deeply and profoundly connected, more loving and connected to this person, you want to stay close to each other and just lay there and bask in the beauty and the oxytocin and this connection and bonding that you have, great. But if you're over it, you got what you needed afterwards because it was good physically, you have no idea what you're doing. Most people think sex and intimacy are interchangeable words. They're not. Sex is just a physical act. Intimacy involves deep emotional connection and an expression of love and respect for the other person. Intimacy is about wanting to connect with that other person. It's about caring about how this experience is for them, not about you. If all you care about is how good it feels to you, you're not doing intimacy at all. You're doing selfishness. And when your worldview involves seeing the opposite sex as an object to provide you with visual and physical pleasure, it ain't good. That's going to get the relationship nowhere. You're still going to fight. You're going to argue. You're going to have struggles. Why? Because there's no respect there. You ain't got connection. You don't care truly about this other person. You don't care about their happiness. You don't care about what feels good to them. You're worried more about yourself. And that selfishness is going to bleed into every aspect of your relationship. If you find yourself in relationships where as soon as the relationship has gotten physical, so to speak, the other person is no longer interested and moves on. I'm gonna talk to you about this. A lot of people aren't gonna like it, but I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna tell you why this is happening to you. When you have sex with someone and they bail. When you make out with someone for a couple hours and they bail. If you find yourself in relationships where the physical relationship is passionate, but they don't prioritize spending time with you, they don't care about what makes you happy, They're not considerate. They don't care about having any other aspect of a relationship aside from the physical with you. You may want to take a good hard look at what you're allowing during the early dating relationship and how you're showing up in the world that might lead others to treat you this way. Because if the guy is only interested in the physical with you and then he kind of treats you like garbage otherwise, the physical aspect is passionate, and the rest of it stinks, there's a reason. This is what I would consider a spiritual assignment for you, where you have to dig deep and be willing to be completely honest with yourself about how you are presenting yourself in the world and in dating relationships. Because I will tell you 100%, someone treating you like their sex toy in a relationship and they don't care about giving to you, serving you, prioritizing spending time with you, your happiness, if they're not prioritizing you, if the physical is all they really seem to care about, part of that is the way you're showing up in the world and the way that you're presenting yourself in the dating world. So I want to give you an example. So I was watching this interview with a woman who was talking about her dating experience in college. She really wanted a boyfriend. She got into college. She was, you know, kind of dating the first year, and she really, really started to want a boyfriend. And she went on to detail how she would make out with guys for hours on the first date and then wonder why they would never call her back. She dated a guy for a couple months, and once they had sex, he disappeared. Most guys she dated, it would include a makeout session within the first date or so, and then the guy would disappear. And she couldn't figure out what was going on. Why did they not want to date her anymore? On more rare occasions, they would date her until they had sex and then disappear. And there was one guy that literally she never saw again. He had sex with her for a little while, for a couple months, disappeared. Like, changed his phone number, moved, like, literally disappeared. She thought that they were in love. Clearly, they were not. And the interviewer asked her if she recognized anything that may have caused these guys to perceive her in this way. And she said, no, not at all. I wanted a boyfriend. What problem would there be? But she failed to understand a couple very important things. And warning, before I say this, this is going to ruffle some feathers. But I'm going to be real with you. Because if you want to stop this from happening to you, you need someone who's willing to tell you something that you don't like. So here we go. Buckle up. During this interview, she was bragging about how she always looked fit. And she was always thin, and she always looked really fit in college, and she loved wearing revealing clothing. And she commented about how her clothing was far more revealing than most other girls on campus. Number two, she was willing to engage in intimate behavior far before any affection or feelings had time to develop. Those two things. I'm going to get real with you. The way you present yourself in the world tells people a lot about who you are. The way this woman was showing up was telling boys that she was the girl that you could get something off of and walk away from. She's not girlfriend material. I don't care what you think. You could get all mad. You can get all upset. And guys shouldn't be like that. Well, you know what? They are. And you don't get to control other people. You only get to control yourself. So if you're going to show up in the way in which guys will perceive you that way, that's what you're going to get. And until you figure it out, you're going to keep getting it. Women always get upset with me and say, we shouldn't judge other people. I hate to break it to you, sister, but that's what we were designed to do. Yep, that's what we were designed to do. This is how you find your tribe. It's how your brain helps you avoid danger. It's how your brain helps you find like-minded friends, like-minded people. It's how you navigate your world. It helps you categorize people so you know who they are and what they can offer you if you need something or want something. We're supposed to do that. So, example, if I'm walking down the street and a car accident happens right in front of me and I run over and I see someone on the other side of the street wearing scrubs, what am I going to do? What immediately judgment is my brain going to go for? They're probably a medical person. They can help me, and I call out to them and ask for help. Okay? I judged them. Maybe they're not a medical person. Maybe they just like scrubs. So, give you another example. I'm walking alone at night, trying to get back to my hotel room after having some drinks or something. And I turn down a dark alley and a man starts walking towards me and he's dressed like a typical gang member, whatever stereotypical that would look like for you. What do you think I'm going to do? I would automatically sense danger, wouldn't you? He might be a totally nice guy. He may not be a gang member. He might be a totally nice guy that just likes dressing like that. But you know what? I have to judge him in order to keep myself safe. If you see a woman walking down the street in a pantsuit and a briefcase, automatically your brain thinks she's a businesswoman. It automatically categorizes her. You don't even think about it. You don't have to be like, what do I think she is? Let me evaluate. It's not like that. It's instant. You keep saying, don't judge, don't judge. I'm sorry, honey. This is what your brain does. It was designed to do that. It automatically does it. If I see someone, black lipstick, white face, black fingernails, black clothing, mod. Instantly. Goth. Mod was the old way of saying that. I'm exposing my age. Instant goth. I don't even have to think about it. They're showing up in the world as that person, and I instantly perceive them as that person. Now, what if they start screaming and yelling at me that they're not? And I'm like, But if you're not, why are you dressed all in black and all the things? Like, why, you know? So let me give you an example of how this applies to what we're actually talking about with how this affects your relationships. So this young college girl who's looking for a boyfriend, in regards to the way she claimed that she was dressing, she is sending a very clear message. While it may have been unintentional, she's bragging about how fit and how good she looks, and she's showing it off. She fully admitted that that was her reason. But it may have been unintentional, but it's a clear message that men receive. And you do not get to choose what message you send. Society, unfortunately, has already done that for you. That is for that other person to interpret what they're perceiving. So let's bring this into reality. Let's say there's a 21-year-old college guy, and he's looking for a one-night stand at a party. He just wants a one-night stand. That's what he is looking for. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, good, bad, whatever. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for, he's going to be looking for someone that looks like they would be more open to that, right? He's got to judge people to try to figure out the type of person that would be willing to do what he wants to do. This is why I say we categorize people. This is how we find our tribe. So he's looking around the room at the party for the most likely candidate. And he sees a really cute girl in a sundress talking to some friends. And then he sees a cute girl who's in a mini skirt so short it barely covers her underwear and a low-cut top that's very really revealing. Who do you think he's going to approach? Instantly, I know you thought this, don't you lie. You instantly are like the girl in the mini skirt, the girl in the mini skirt. You know it. If you see this girl in this cute little sundress, you don't look at her and be like, I'm going to get some tonight. But you look at the girl in the mini skirt and you're like, I'm going to get some tonight. Everybody would do it. Even girls know that. It's not even a guy thing. All the girls at the party, if a guy went up to the girls in the party and said, which one of these girls at this party do you think I'm going to get some from? Guess who? They're all going to be pointing at the girl in the miniskirt. We will always approach the person who we perceive is most likely a fit for what we're looking for. It's normal. The girl who's revealing the most of her body to complete strangers is more likely to be open to a one-night stand than the girl who isn't. It's a no-brainer. If I'm really willing to expose the bottom of my butt to complete strangers, I'm going to be a lot more open to a one-night stand than a girl that's like, I am not doing that. Everybody knows that. Girls just don't want it. They don't want to admit it. The young college girl was sending out this message, this one that we were talking about earlier from the interview. She was sending out this message that this was the type of girl. She even said from her own mouth, I dress more revealing than 90% of the other girls at college. And yet she's hoping to get a different result. I'm sorry, you're not going to get it. You can be the one night stand girl or you can be the girlfriend material, but you can't be both. So if you don't like the result you're getting, you're going to have to change what you're doing. If you're willing to allow any level of intimacy without a relationship or without any feelings having to develop first, you're going to get treated as the go-to girl when I want something. You're not going to get treated as the girl for keeps. If you're easy, like if it's easy to get some intimacy out of you, guess what? They're going to be coming for it. If it's easy for guys to use you, they will. And you can claim all day long and whine and cry and kick your feet and throw a 2-year-old tantrum. That's life, honey. That's life. If you're easy to use, people will use you. I'm not saying it's right or good, but it's the truth. So if you go on a few dates with someone and it gets hot and heavy, he knows where to get it. Women want to be treated with respect. They want men to see them as equals. They want to be treated with dignity. But at the same time, they want to dress like 2 cents a dance on 3rd and Main. And you don't get to have both. It doesn't work that way. You either give out a piece of yourself for free to anyone on the street, or you respect yourself enough not to let any Johnny pervert have access to your body. That's how it works. If you want to be treated with respect, you have to respect yourself first. Don't act stupid like you don't know that guys aren't checking you out. I'm a woman. I have had a lot of girlfriends over the years. I know why they dress that way, and I ain't dumb. I'm old enough. I've been around the block a lot of times, and I know why they do it. If you want that kind of attention from guys, you're going to get it. But you're also going to get the unwanted result of the kind of guy who doesn't want a relationship. The kind of guy that doesn't want to be committed. the kind of guy that's probably going to cheat. That's what you're going to get because you aren't playing for keeps here. If you want a guy who is kind, respectful, loving, compassionate, and who is looking for a committed relationship, you have to show up in your life as that type of girl. Sorry. If that's not who you are, accept it then. But if you want to attract the one-night stand, use them and leave them, guys. Show up in your life looking like that girl. And that is exactly what you will get. What women don't like is they want to act a certain way because they love the attention. They love to show off their bodies. They love to be like, I look hot in this. You're right. And everyone else is going to notice that too. But they're going to treat you like that. Stop complaining about the results you're getting and start doing something different so that you'll get a different result. What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting the same result. If what you are doing is getting a result you don't like, you might want to take a good hard look at why you're doing what you're doing. I love how women are always like, oh, you know, everyone's telling us to cover up and we're responsible for guys' thoughts. No, you aren't. Stop saying that. You're not responsible for his thoughts, but you are responsible for what you do. And when your actions are causing results in your life that you don't like, stop doing it. You have to stop trying to control society. Stop telling people to respect you when you do not show up respecting yourself. When your butt is hanging out of your entire swimming suit and you expect people to respect you, the hell you're going to get it, girl. You're going to get a guy. What you're going to do is attract all of the guys that want to treat you like a piece of meat. And the guys that are respectful and don't are going to ignore you and walk away. Sorry, but that's what you're going to get. You're acting like a magnet and then yelling that all the paper clips are stuck to you. You will attract what you show up as, and you will get treated the way you treat yourself. The way men treat you is a reflection of how you show up. And in fact, unfortunately, it's a reflection of the way most women show up in society, which sadly affects all of us. There are some of us that will show up in a cute little sundress and get catcalled and all this garbage because most women in society show up like 2 cents a dance, and so we all get treated that way, which sucks. Men will only start to respect women when all women start respecting themselves. And I know it's a hard pill to swallow, but if you're not getting what you want, you've got to change yourself first. Men are not going to change. You have to change if you want to see change in the world and change in your life and change in your relationships. So, if I haven't lost you yet, congratulations. You're ready and willing to take a cold, hard look at yourself and do the work necessary to change your relationships. Because a lot of women are not willing to listen to that. They don't want to take responsibility for their own part that they play in the toxic narratives in our society. They want to place all of the blame on men and walk away, and you can't do that. You can't place all the blame on women either. Because, you know, men are responsible for themselves, but you're really not showing up respecting yourself when every bit of you is hanging out of what you're wearing. So I also want to address the fact that sometimes, for whatever reason, you'll find yourself in a toxic or abusive relationship. And I do want to be clear that their toxic behavior is not your fault. Their toxic way of interacting with you and other people is 100% on them. But the responsibility that you play is how long you let them treat you that way. That's the only responsibility that you have. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you're not a good person. It doesn't mean you're not worthy. It doesn't mean you deserved it. It doesn't mean any of that. It means you allowed it. Doesn't mean you deserved it. But somewhere along the line, you've got to get enough self-worth in yourself to say, I'm done. And really, honestly, this conversation that I just had with you about sex and intimacy and how you show up in the world, that's a tough pill to swallow for most women. They don't like it. It makes them really mad because they want to do what they want to do and they want to get whatever result they want out of it. And life just doesn't work that way. So I want you to, my challenge to you after this podcast is to take a really good look at the relationships in your life. Even relationships with your family. You're an adult now. If the relationships with parents or siblings or other family members, aunts, uncles, I don't know, whoever, is toxic, take a good look at that and decide if that's really what you want in your life. Take the family dynamic, like take the family connection out of it. Is this someone I would want in my life or not? If not, figure out what you want to do with that. I want you to take a good look at your friends, and I want you to use the mirror technique of what is this mirroring to you about what you're willing to accept, what wounds you have. Why this is what you're attracting in your life and what you can do to change it. Same thing with romantic relationships. Why are you attracting emotionally unavailable men? Why are you attracting people that don't want to commit? Why are you attracting people that just want a physical relationship, that don't prioritize you, that don't care about your happiness? Whatever it is that you are finding in relationships. And then I want you to find a way to start working on that. Find someone that can help you. Find support that you need. There are courses and classes and all kinds of things that you can do to find help in overcoming worthiness wounds, overcoming self-esteem issues, overcoming family dynamics that really affected you. Whatever it is that is affecting all these relationships in your life, it's time for you to heal. And when you do, this cycle will stop. The cycle will stop. And you'll also start noticing if you change the way you show up in the world, people treat you different. So for example, when I was wearing a little sundress, walking into a gas station, you know what I noticed when I'm wearing a cute sundress? Guys will hold the door open for me. They will let me go in front of them in line. They'll treat me with respect. I'm dead serious. When, even if I'm just dressed in like scrunchy jeans or something, they don't do that. It's not really necessarily on them. It really honestly is how I'm showing up in the world. When I'm dressed in cute sundresses, I've noticed I don't get catcalled as often. I'm not saying there aren't guys out there that'll do it to anybody that breathes, but I have noticed in my own life, the way that I've shown up has affected the type of attention that I draw to myself. It's really powerful. When you show up looking like a business person, people will listen to you. They will value what you say because they perceive you as someone who's professional and intelligent. It does affect everything. So when I'm talking about the way that you are, your inner world, your inner child, wounds are going to affect your relationships. Your inner world in general, the thoughts that you have about yourself, that inner world that you have is going to affect it. And your outer world is going to affect it. The way that you talk to other people, the way you treat other people, the way you dress, all of that is going to affect the type of relationships you get and the way that you are treated by friends, by someone of the opposite sex, all of it. And when you stand up and you're not willing to accept it anymore, your life is going to change. So I really hope that this was helpful for you. I know this was long. There's a lot of information. There's a lot to unpack here. And I know there's also a lot of really difficult stuff to wade through here. But if you are looking for healthy, happy, committed relationship, all of this is relevant and all of this is valid. If that's not what you're looking for, obviously this is probably not for you. But if you're looking at why you have relationship issues, these are the reasons. So I hope that this was helpful for you. If you have questions, you can definitely contact me. And I really hope that this will help you on your soul's journey and on your journey to having a happy and healthy, fulfilling relationship. Thanks for joining me today.